Welcome back, everybody. We are here for another fun night of Dancing with the Stars coverage. I am joined by my lovely lady co-hosts again. Welcome back, Lita, and welcome back, Kelly. We are here to discuss and break down all of the hit dance moves, you know, on ABC. How are you ladies doing tonight?
I'm good. I feel like mixed feelings about the eliminations from the past 2 weeks. But we will dive into that. Kelly, how are you doing?
Yeah, 50-50 on that.
Well, I have a really bad cold, so you'll have to excuse me. If there's like violent, and I have like the loudest sneeze in the world. So if there's violent sneezing or I just sound like I've lost my voice, everyone, please forgive me. I'm going to endeavor to speak a little bit less this podcast. But if you know me at all, you know that's a personal struggle of mine to keep quiet.
You just have a husky voice. You've got that sultry something.
Right? Sick Phoebe thing. Smelly cats.
Yeah.
Smelly.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah. So we are here to break down the last two episodes of Dancing with the Stars, which was the aforementioned Disney night and movie night, which are actually two really, really awesome episodes to be talking about together. So I'm pretty stoked to be chatting about these. I will say that Disney night is something I look forward to consistently on each season, and movie night, whatever, Hollywood night, whatever they always call it, something different every year, is something that I, again, also am pretty high on usually as a theme. How do you ladies feel about these two themes? I think that for me, they bring some consistency and cohesiveness to the show. But I'd love to get your takes, starting with Lita, I guess, just to hear what you have to say overall, what you thought this season, how things panned out on, you know, each episode. And then, you know, we'll break it down, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, these are two fun themes. I feel like the opening numbers were some of the worst that I can. Mandy Moore, but I tweeted this, but dancing, rehearsing a number over and over again and having to perform to It's a Small World After All is like such a unique form of torture for these dancers, like of all the Disney songs.
Yeah.
And then the Hollywood Night one I thought was so silly. It was just like a stupid plot with very little dancing. So not the best tone setters, but overall, I thought the dancing was really great. I'm never super high on the guest judges. Miss Shania Twain.
And we will get into it, but she was an interesting guest judge this year to have
on.
Total
Vanessa. She was such a Vanessa.
Yeah, Vanessa Hudgens.
And for all the uninitiated of Vanessa Hudgens from So You Think You Can Dance.
Yes. Not Vanessa Lachey, although that also wouldn't really be a compliment after that Disney night. I think that apart from all of the, you know, the judging, the group numbers, the production side of it, I thought that we had some really interesting dances and some really exciting turnarounds for some people, I think, which is always good because I think we've had a couple of front runners for a long time. So it's interesting to see who maybe that third or fourth person might be. And it's changing a lot week to week, which is exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that you're right, that third and fourth spot are where the mystery of the season is. I mean, well, I don't know. I think Frankie's a pretty solid third, but
he was
like
in the bottom.
Yeah, and he wasn't very good this week, but he was great the week before. It's tricky. I just think that I think viewers are going to show up for him. I don't know. I just have a feeling that
I'm showing up for him.
He's there. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, like we are in this weird situation where any winner other than Jordan doesn't make much sense. We're all pretty, like, there's a bit of a consensus feeling there. And so we're having to look at the suspense more around, like, who's going to also be there with him in the finale and who there might be an upset, but mostly just who's going to make it. So it was interesting, for example, to see Victoria in the bottom this week because she was one of those people we really thought was a top tier, you know, potential finale contender. So you're absolutely right. There's a lot of mystery going on there. And also you're totally right about the opening numbers, because, man, as wonderful as these themes are, holy moly, those were
They breezed through it this week. I agree with that. Dumb and I mean, rumors. I will say that as somebody who used to sing It's a Small World After All to torture my mother. yeah, that's definitely not a song you want. And the like the Buck Wild version of it that it became yes. when they turned into like the modern dancing side of it was just so strange. And then they kept bringing it back in like the interstitials during like the commercial break. So, yeah, it was clearly they just wanted to bring something different to the table. And I think they've done a lot of things with Disney in the past, and I think they, I guess the theme this year was a tribute to Disney through the years.
Yeah, it was in chronological order, and I think yeah, that's like one of the quote unquote classic songs. So then get away from that, like
right.
the Renaissance from the 90s, which I do think we tend to focus on, especially our generation.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, I guess we'll jump right into it. You know, bouncing off of that with Victoria and Val going right into a jazz routine to Steamboat Willie, which was supposed to be, you know, them as Mickey and Minnie, which super traditional, super original, very nostalgic 1920s Minnie Mouse sort of black and white background and all of that, and they're doing a jazz routine, which was very, very strange because it was very much so like a freestyle. Like I didn't quite know what was happening during this. It was cute. It was nice. It was likable. The judges seemed to really, really enjoy it. I was so on it. I don't know how you guys felt.
Yeah, it was not shocking that they were in the bottom after this. It was just kind yeah. of like... boring. Like I don't think that there was right? anything wrong with like the technique or whatever. I just felt like between the black and white and like this isn't a movie that people like get excited about like it's only famous because it's the first one, right. I think it was just not an engaging thing to watch.
Yeah, I think,
and I also sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I think there was a definite advantage to being later in the show in Disney Week because of the chronological thing that they were doing. Sort of just by
for sure.
by nature of the structure, all of the most popular stuff went last, or at least in that sort of second half once they got into the '90s. It was pretty boring. Current week, but the week we are currently talking about, Disney Week, had I thought way too many jazz numbers, mostly because Dancing with the Stars has absolutely no conception of what jazz is. Yes. We talk about this all the time.
Totally.
You're right. They substitute in the word freestyle where they were told to do jazz. And anytime there's one of those weeks where they're like, and then four different couples are doing jazz, I'm just like, oh, great. So we're just going to have like some step touches and just vary it.
Yeah, because the theme is not loose enough to allow for a traditional ballroom dance style. You know, it's like you ask somebody to do Steamboat Willie and then you give them this like insane backdrop and like these insane costumes, and then you're gonna say like do a Viennese waltz.
But
like
they could have done a jive to that I think really easily.
Yeah,
you know what,
they
you
could have done
to jump ahead
a jive,
a little
yes.
bit
yeah
there because there is
yeah, they, yeah
there is something about the pairing of the like assignment with the dance style that does have to be a certain level of thoughtful, and they could have done a jive or something like that to this.
Yeah,
I've been thinking about this because I literally just finished the episode from this week, and we can get into this later, but a spy themed jive, for example, is stupid. A spy should do the tango, but Steamboat Willie I think can do the jive. Not everybody had to resort
I think you're
to
mistaken
jazz.
I'm pretty sure spies do the jive.
It's such a happy skipping dance.
It's like the spy that jives.
So weird.
Sounds like the name
the spy that jives.
Something.
Yeah. It's like Austin Powers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the next
well,
one.
Yeah. Maybe the spy that jives.
But yeah, I also feel like with Victoria, I've been getting the sense that she does not perform as well in the flat shoe.
Oh,
I think
that's
in
interesting.
This, she was not as up to par with her gracefulness. And then this week in movie night, she was in sort of a flat jazz shoe as well, doing her dance in her hockey costume. And I also felt like she was a little out of sync. So maybe her wearing a heel maybe provides some stability in her legs, you know, with her condition that, you know, maybe she just isn't getting with the flat shoe. So, I mean, that's a completely like totally out there theory that I just have and that I just came up with and could completely be wrong. But it's just something I've observed that like every time she wears a flat shoe, she's a little wobbly and a little all over the place. So that's just something I took away from, you know, this week and in Disney week. So
yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. What was the genre of the hockey routine supposed to be? I can't even remember what style was it.
It was a paso doble because it said on there. Yeah. Paso and he said doble.
Yeah, I think that ballroom shouldn't be ever on flat shoes, but I think everybody looks worse. But
agreed,
definitely.
And we'll talk about their costumes because I just didn't love the style and the setup of that dance.
The hockey dance.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about each person they like both weeks together and go through?
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
Because
we're so smart. We're really good at structure.
because we're just like bringing it up naturally anyway, right?
Yeah, we are. It's true.
I will say, I might have talked about this before because I talk about it all the time, but the Mighty Ducks, specifically the third one, is one of my all time favorite movies. Like it's on my top three or four.
Love
list.
Mighty Ducks. Yeah. For sure.
Very, very feel very strongly about the Mighty Ducks. So I was really excited to like this routine. Obviously, I love me some Val, but it was just I thought it was fine. And I do think that the costuming was setting her up for failure a little bit. Who knows about the heel situation? I always think that the heels would be the hardest part of learning to do Dancing with the Stars. But there might be something to your theory about her leg balance with her condition. Who knows? But certainly. Certainly with the idea of her being graceful, but even just like the pads and stuff, I don't know how you could expect anybody to be graceful. Even Val, who's a professional dancer, didn't look graceful in
tiny.
Those crazy pads. Like that's just a weird thing to ask someone to do.
And then she had that like weird Roman like skirt on with it. So it seemed like they were trying to give it some sort of femininity. And it's like, no, if you're going to do a hockey uniform, like just go whole hog with it. You know, like don't try and like go back and forth. And it's like, you know, I think that you're trying to do these like great Spanish paso doble shapes, but you can't because you have this girl who's wearing this like really outrageous like padding, you know? So yeah, at the end of this dance, Len is like, you lack some finesse in your arms. And it's like, oh, really? Like shocking. You know, it's like, I just think that it's like one of those things where it's like, they set her up for failure both weeks, in my opinion. You know, it's just like, they didn't really give her the best, you know, not that it's any fault of hers or Val's. I think they did the best that they were given, but with the sort of the theme and the song choice and the costume.
Yeah, the song, you know. You're going to say that a routine to We Will Rock You lacked finesse. Like, yeah, of course. Like,
especially because I think of We Are the Champions as being more. I actually fact checked this and there is We Will Rock You in it plays a part in both D1 and D2. But We Are the Champions is the one I more associate with the Mighty Ducks. And so just give me a waltz to We Are the Champions and call it a day.
Yeah, there could be a big lift and, in there.
Yeah, it's great.
And this made me mad, too, because they got into this whole section with her and Carrie Ann and a couple of the judges where they were talking about how she didn't get into the aggressive, quote unquote, hockey player character for the paso. And I'm like, first of all,
Charlie Conway was not an aggressive boy. First of all.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, that's not a character in the Mighty Ducks movies. And second of all, where is it written down that women have to be aggressive when they're, you know, in the like the paso doble is a very like it's a very strong dance.
She's playing a cape. Capes don't have personalities.
Yeah, so it was just like they were putting this persona into her that like they were forcing on her, and I did not appreciate that.
Yeah, and men aren't expected.
So she was like, "I'm not an aggressive person."
Yeah, and men aren't expected to be more feminine. In fact, they get dinged for that. But women have to be both feminine and then also sometimes super masculine. Right.
I mean, in general, I just think anytime we're encouraging anybody to be more aggressive, we're doing the wrong thing. I just think it's like a culture. Let's just downplay the aggression and I'll be a little happier and we're good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that overall, Victoria didn't fare well on these. So I like you said, I wasn't super surprised that she ended up in the bottom, but. You know, moving on, I'm hopeful that she'll, you know, get back up there. Next up on our list, we have one of our lovely married couple, Vanessa Lachey and Max, during Disney night, moving on in the tradition of time chronologically, we go to Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, which I actually was happy to see this because I don't, we talked about this last season, but we saw a little interstitial last season with Keo and one of the troop members where they did this beautiful Snow White dance. And I just loved that interstitial. And they did another one this year that I imagined I was just like blown away by. But so they did one this time. You know, they did one last year and it was just so beautiful. So I was happy to see that they were doing Snow White and the Seven Dwarves to this song particularly. And then they did the dance and I got really, really sad. But it was really, really bad. But, you know, I think that, you know, Max obviously choreographed it really well and it was beautifully choreographed. And she clearly was, you know, just very, very nervous and, you know, very, very thrown off for some reason.
I don't think she should invite her kids to the ballroom. Yeah. I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, and they were right in the front row, and they were like, "Mommy's a princess," and it's like, "Ugh!" And it's, you know, what are you gonna do? Your kids are yelling
about
at
to watch
you.
Mommy so, be
I
very
mean,
romantic
she's consistently been
with Max. Yeah. Like, it's very confusing.
And she's consistently been fairly decent throughout this competition. So the fact that she, you know, sort of let things slide this episode was surprising, but, you know, whatever, we'll let it go, I guess.
I will say Max looked fantastic in his cleanly shaven right? Prince Charming getup.
So much commentary on Shmurkowski facial hair recently.
I have so many opinions, and I generally find Max very unappealing, and I wanted to give him his little "you looked handsome this week" shout out, okay? Make him feel good about himself.
Yeah, you really do find him ugly, though, don't you? You do, though. You say you're like, I don't think he's cute.
I'm a real personality person.
I guess that's true.
I don't care what your facial symmetry is doing. If I don't like the things that come out of your mouth, that's the end.
So I will say then you didn't love the seven versions of Max as the seven
that was
dwarves.
Funny. I thought that was cute.
I thought that was cute too. I will say though, during maybe this was this week. I can't remember if this this week or Disney, but they did very pointedly show us. They were like, hey, like, we are good, like, we're doing all right, like, we're closer than ever, like, Max and Vanessa, we're closer than ever. Like, they very pointedly were telling us that. So they're trying to show us that Max and Vanessa are a strong couple, and, you know, I think that this was just another way for them to be like, aren't they fun?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
I liked them.
Yes, no, but she messed up a bunch.
Yeah, she did. It's so hard to, like, I feel like it must be hard for the judges to score, like, there's no protocol for, like, how many points off do we take for a mistake? You know what I mean? Where it's, like, you want to score it on overall, like, technique and just, like, the connection, the dancing and stuff. But it's, like, when you make three mistakes in a routine, like, how do you score that? Because at most dance
like
competitions,
one,
there'll be like a structure for that. But
with like dance competitions, mistake, we're dealing with a certain level of competency to begin with, right? I think that if someone makes mistakes, like, you dock 1 point for one mistake, 2 points for like mistakes plural. But I think going any further than that, you're basically scoring someone who danced well, but maybe it was a little bit messy, the same as you're scoring someone who just like cannot dance. And I think it's important to make that distinction.
And it's also hard because like some of the mistakes are more important. Like, for example, Drew's routine in Hollywood Week when he was literally behind a whole count for like 16 counts.
Yeah.
And, like, this should have been like a four. Like, that's not acceptable.
No.
Oh my God, that was a disaster. He was
Whereas like she tripped over her. Yeah. Whereas like Vanessa tripped and like she knew what she did wrong. Whereas like she wasn't behind. She like, as soon as she was done, she was like, oh, I tripped on that foot. You know, it's like if she had done the dance again, it might have been perfect, you know? So, I think that she's a good dancer. I don't think that she's a bad dancer. I think she had an off week. I would have loved to see this dance at top perfection because I think it was well choreographed. And I think the song is beautiful. The costumes were beautiful. It had this really romantic feel to it. You know, I think that it could have been a really great dance. So I'm sad that it wasn't as good as it could have been. So that's that, I guess.
She looked really pretty.
Yeah.
She did look really pretty. The following week, so this week, we saw Vanessa and Max dance a quick step, which was just insane, from Let's Be Bad, from the hit musical Smash.
Of all things. No. Their genre was movie musicals. Of
yeah.
all the songs
which I love
from movie musicals, they pick a song that's not from a movie musical. It's not even from
it's
a,
not from a movie
from
a TV or a musical.
Show. It's from it. And is Smash, I guess it was an ABC TV show.
No,
so.
It was an NBC TV show.
Oh, it was NBC. Yes. Okay, so it doesn't even make any sense. It's literally nonsense.
No explanation for this.
No. But I will say this was fun, though. What did you guys think?
Yeah.
I thought it was a great routine. They did a great job.
Yeah.
After, like, shouting about that. I'm like, oh, yeah, actually. I really enjoyed it.
What is
Smash? I had a moment where I thought maybe I just was, like, there was another song that sounded like the Smash song, and it was, like, I was just remembering it wrong or didn't know enough about classic TV movie musicals.
Because well, it kind there of had is like a song from yeah. Anything Goes.
Let's Misbehave.
What is that?
Let's Misbehave.
Let's Misbehave.
But it's not this song.
So I thought that was this for a second. And then I was like, nope, that's wrong. That's not this song. So, yeah, no, you're right. This is that song. And that's the only one there is. Yeah.
That's so strange. Maybe Max just didn't know the song and someone put it on the list and he heard it. And I was like, that sounds like something from a movie musical. Let's do that.
Maybe. That's true. It's possible. Because, I mean, this is, if you see Quick Step and you hear the song, it's like, it's amazing. You know, it's like, it's so fast and there's so much content. And I feel like he had just a blast choreographing this because she performs like, she just blows this out of the water performing wise. She's just putting her every effort into it to make up for the following week. So I loved her in this. I thought she did a really great job. I mean, I think her scores were a little low, actually, for her effort and her capabilities. But I mean, it wasn't, I think, because her partner was Max and they don't have the chemistry that other people have. You know, that's where that lacks. But
yeah, I agree. I kind of thought this was going to get tens.
Yeah.
And then they started. They were really nitpicking this. They did. Once they bring up one small problem, you know, it won't get a 10. And so I was like, oh, OK. But when I was just watching it, I thought it might get close to a perfect score. I mean, keeping in mind that, like, it was impossible to predict what Shania Twain would do at any given moment.
Oh my God. So did she was she the one, what dance did she, I forget what dance she like gave a 7 to. What was that dance that she gave a 7 to?
It almost felt unfair, not to the contestants.
It was weird.
Obviously unfair to the contestants, but it kind of felt.
She gave Drew a 9 because he's Canadian. Well, and then she gave somebody a 7. Who did she give a 7 to? It was so weird.
Well, she didn't.
Was it Nick Lachey?
I don't. It wasn't Nick Lachey because Nick Lachey a 7 would have been fine. It was someone who everyone else given. It might have been Vanessa. It was someone who got 9s and she got gave him a 7. And it was, but it was so
it was
easy
very
to track
strange.
What was
I can't
going
remember
on.
Honestly, but
it was so easy to track
what
was going
was
on with
very
her
weird.
Though, because like she came out the
she
gate too generous. She looked a little silly because she gave Drew something he didn't deserve. Then she overcorrected. Yeah. And by the end of the episode, I think Bruno might have been whispering in her ear or something because she really figured it out by the end of the episode and was in lockstep with him. But at the beginning, it was like she clearly had been given very little guidance and she'd been told, oh, just give them whatever you think is fair. And then she was so far off everybody else that she overcorrected and it was really unfair to the contestants. But you could also see, like, for her, that would have been really embarrassing and she was trying her best. And, like, I don't know. The whole thing was just
totally.
A mess and it made me sad because she has, you know, I love her. She has that one perfect album and I'll always love her. I don't know.
Yeah, she seemed, like, very strange in this and she seemed, like, very not quite with it, which was a little upsetting. But I also felt like she was given maybe the direction of you're here to judge entertainment and entertainment value only. So don't even worry about judging the dancing, which is like, yeah. OK,
well,
so if she wasn't entertained, then yeah, which is fine. Yeah, that's totally fine. But if she wasn't entertained, then she's not going to give you a good score. So, yeah, I mean, this was entertaining, though. So I can't imagine she didn't score this well.
I'm not a fan of Shania Twain, so I don't really not like I don't like her. I don't. Know her.
You don't love that one album?
That one album, though.
I only know the one song by her. But
well, what song do you know?
Is it Man, I Feel Like a Woman?
Oh, is that her?
What song do you know?
Doesn't she sing that Don't Impress Me Much? Is that not
Oh,
her?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So those That's are one both of them. On the Masterpiece album, Come On Over.
Okay. Yeah, which is a great album.
Every single
That's
song
She had
that
really long hair and she wore Daisy Dukes and she was like a star.
Well, I wanted to ask, what is this Shania Twain comeback? Because I had never Broad encountered City, right? her my whole know. Life, but she was on Broad City this last week, too.
Yeah, well, she's always been brought up on Broad City because that's been like an ongoing.
Yeah, it's a
since
running
the
joke.
First season. Abby was like, I trained Shania Twain. But she must have like a new. Well, she's got this song for this new Miles Teller movie coming out.
Yeah.
That she performed so beautifully.
I hated that
lip syncing on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird. That was another weird one.
Some hardcore lip syncing.
I hate the like a man is in the army and the woman is the wife routines.
You know,
it's like women can be soldiers.
Lita, I had the exact same thought and I was like, oh, I really wish they'd switched the gender on at least one of these couples. And then I looked more closely and the guys were not actually in uniforms. Assumed, because I definitely assumed that it was like
I
an army
and
wife
the song
routine.
Was about soldiers.
But it wasn't. They was just like couples in old timey clothes.
Weren't they wearing the hats?
Yeah.
No.
Oh,
they weren't.
All right.
Well. They had on just the same color. They had on like old. Yeah, it was. Yeah. And the song was so much about it that you were like, oh, yeah, they're clearly going off to war. And the wives are saying goodbye.
The military.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah. No, war. It was a very reasonable assumption to make. And I made the exact same one. And then I looked closer because I had the same complaint. I was like, can't we have one female soldier? But one, they sidestepped that by doing the costumes in period. So if it's World War II, whatever. And two, they actually didn't even have military costumes. So it was just a bunch
of couples. It was weird. And it was also just like, I don't understand the context of this in movie night, but whatever.
Because there's a movie coming out.
Yeah, I guess. But I was just like, I just didn't understand it because I didn't know the movie. I'd never heard of it before. So I was like, OK, I'm supposed to now want to see this movie. And I don't.
It is
a
movie that looks for all the world like it was directed by Clint Eastwood, but it was not directed by Clint Eastwood.
Ooh, that
is really all you need to know.
Flattering promo.
Gotta love it. Well, Vanessa is moving on both weeks, more Vanessa and Max, which is great because I want to see more from her. I think she did a good job. I hope that Max doesn't fail her. I fear that he will in the end. All right. So next up on our Disney night, we have the lovely Nikki Bella and Artem. Is that right?
Yes.
No. Oh.
I thought you were asking if that was correctly her partner.
Is that correct?
I don't know chronologically.
Is that correct? No. Okay, that is up next. Yeah. No, that's right. No, that's wrong. That's up on movie night. We have Lindsay and Mark up next on Disney night. I was like, that can't be right. She danced to Coco.
Yeah, a movie that hasn't come out yet.
Sorry. Okay, so we have Lindsay and Mark up next, who are doing a foxtrot to When You Wish Upon a Star from Pinocchio.
Aww.
It's Pinocchio. It's Pinocchio.
This movie scared the crap out of me as a child. Sorry, my voice
I'm not
cracked.
A huge fan of Pinocchio.
A lot of that era is really scary.
It's so scary.
Pinocchio is not a fun movie.
Yeah. Snow White's actually not a fun movie either. All of those like old school ones are actually really terrifying.
My grandmother took me to see Snow White in the theater when I was young, when they re-released it in the 90s. And it was a little uncomfortable for me as a child.
Very scary. That rainstorm thing. No way.
Yeah. So I would love to hear from you, Kelly, this week, your opinion after watching her in both nights during her foxtrot on Disney night and after her crazy buck wild Argentine tango. If your opinion on Lindsay Stirling has changed.
I still think she's an excellent dancer who deserves second place. And I don't particularly like her. But I love Mark Ballas, and she's a wonderful dancer, and both routines were fabulous. And I especially loved that in Disney Week, he really embraced doing sort of like leaving behind the Mark Ballas-ness. To show off, you know, he is a really beautiful, classic dancer, classic choreographer. He can do that. That's what his parents do. That's what he was trained to do. And just because he has this wacky side and this hyper creativity thing, and Disney Week seems like a week when you could really unleash that, it doesn't mean he has to. And he has this mode, and I really loved him showing off this mode, and they did a beautiful job. And then this week was just insanely brilliant, and I love him. I just don't really connect with her. I don't get it. It's fine. She's a beautiful dancer.
That's fine.
And her second place trophy will be well deserved.
I feel like that is an improvement on your opinion on her, though, because before I think you weren't saying second place. So
no, I think she's she's sort of clearly objectively the second place best dancer. I just think that she's a manic pixie dream girl, and that annoys me.
Yeah.
You know what annoyed me?
But I will say that
was Mickey Mouse playing the piano.
No.
No, I loved it.
Here's okay, good. Because I'm setting the stage here. This has got to be just like everybody's dream, though, right? Just putting on this like epically amazing dress and your hair is done perfectly and Mark Ballas is wearing a tuxedo and Mickey Mouse is playing the piano and you're dancing a foxtrot.
Angela,
that's not your like ideal dream.
Give me a foxtrot any day. Just any day.
I think I just like don't care about any sort of Disney iconography. Like,
I don't either. I'm completely kidding. If Mickey Mouse played a piano at my wedding, I think I would probably shoot him.
Like, like there are just Disney people, and I am just not a Disney person.
I'm not either.
And like the four Disney movies that I really like, and that is all. And Mickey Mouse is in no way involved in any of those movies.
I mean, I love Disney. I love the Disney movies I love, though, and Mickey isn't really a part of that because he was just too early for all of that. But and I do think, like, if you're a person, and this is like a thing I think Lindsay Stirling would do, which is why I find her annoying. But like, if you're getting married and you're an adult and your theme is Disney and you have Mickey Mouse playing the piano, like, that's a little crazy and infantile and just what is happening with you?
Yeah, I
but
threw
this
up a
is
little
Disney
bit.
Week.
I know somebody like this too,
and it was like, I know multiple people where I'm just like, I could see you hiring someone to wear a Mickey hat and or a Mickey head and like play the piano, and it's creepy and weird in the real world. But this is Disney week, and so everything has to be Disney. So buying in, I think it's important. You have to buy into Disney week fully and embrace that's kind of everything's going to be infantile, everything's going to be that kind of like silly all-in enthusiastic Disney nonsense, and I liked it a lot because it was a fairly serious routine. It gave it a little bit of that nice sweetness to it,
and she looked so pretty. And I feel like she was wearing blue, so it almost was like she was like the blue fairy, so it was like very in like maybe with the Pinocchio theme. So
it felt very Cinderella, and I loved Cinderella.
Yeah, and I loved watching Mark get emotional when Len gave him a 10. Like, he got, like, teary-eyed, and that just made me really happy.
Well,
so,
you know that
I enjoyed
people
quite a bit.
I feel like he thinks people don't think he can do this. You know, like, doing that against Mark thing, like, against type.
Mm-hmm.
I think he really felt he had something to prove, and so he did, and it was awesome.
Yeah, between this and the father-daughter routine, I think Mark is sort of reinventing himself in a good way.
Like, care about the father-daughter routine at all.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not, it's thematically similar or tonally similar. Like, he's not losing his Markness, but now he's showing this soft side of himself consistently.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he used to do a bit more of this stuff. I think the like crazy, quirky, silly Mark stuff came out more in later seasons. But he's getting back to that classic quirky Ballas side of him, and I like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, we also just haven't seen him in a while, so we're forgetting
all
the stuff that he did like in the beginning. But we do move on to movie night, where he does just the most crazy ex machina, like science robot, iRobot, sci-fi extravaganza I've ever seen. This was weird, though. This was a weird like version of Mark's brain. But I liked it. I thought it was cool. I mean, I will say that this was probably the one time I didn't think Lindsay danced the most amazingly that she's ever danced.
Really?
But it was fine.
I thought she did
a good job.
I think that it's hard when so much of the routine is her in unison with two members of the troupe. Like,
that's what I was going to say.
It was too much. I was watching Jenna literally the whole time. Because, like, why would I?
Yeah, because Jenna was so sharp.
Yeah, like, I'm going to watch.
She was doing the...
My eye is going to be drawn to the best dancer on the stage. And, like, when three people are doing the exact same thing in basically the exact same costumes, like, it's hard for my eye to stay on Lindsay.
And that's like to say that is a super, super, super nitpick. Like I had to really, really look for that. Like I was only like, I was like, this is amazing. This is amazing. This is amazing. And I was just like, but also like, wow, Jenna, look at her. Wow. She's doing a really great job. And I'm like, oh, wait, why am I looking at Jenna? And I think the only thing that made me look at them is when they would do like the robot sounds and they would have to do these sharp movements. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first time Lindsay's ever had to do something like that. So, and I think Jenna's had the experience doing that. So, that'd be my only thing to say about that. But I thought this was really cool.
I thought she was fantastic. I thought she was incredibly sharp, and some of her leg movements were incredibly complex, and she nailed it. But I'm also someone who is never going to watch Jenna. My eye was not drawn to her once. So I don't, maybe I'm just not a good judge of that particular issue, but I watched Lindsay the entire time. I this was actually the dance when I was like, maybe you're an even, like, I knew she was a good dancer. There was a part of me that had a moment of like, oh, maybe you're actually the best dancer here just in this one routine, but I guess not. Jordan still wins.
Oh goodness. You're so funny about Jenna.
I don't know what it is. It's just an inherent dislike. I can't justify it. It's just there and I hate it. I hate her. She can take it. She's fine.
She can take it. Yeah. She's a strong manic pixie girl. another one, I guess. So we move along back to Disney night. And we go back to the sadly dearly departed Nick Lachey. But so we this is a weird dance, though. This was kind of a fun one. I thought this was this. Yeah, this was a weird choice, though, I thought. This was the Bare Necessities from the Jungle Book, and this was a quick step. And PETA, I think, did the best that she could with what she was given. And the costume department did the best with what they were given.
Well, I thought she looked so cute with her little ears.
She didn't even look like a bear, though.
No. Why was she the bear?
Why was she supposed to look like a bear?
Because it's Baloo's song.
No, I know, but like, okay, yeah, you wanted her to look like a more realistic bear? what is your goal here?
Do her makeup better. I thought she was a monkey and I was confused because I was like, if she's the monkey, then what is Nick supposed to be? It was so confusing. And why was this so raunchy? Like, I don't.
Yeah, this was really raunchy.
What about the Bare Necessities screams sex?
Did PETA misunderstand like the bear as like B-A-R, like B-A-R-E meaning like
naked. Yeah, naked? I don't know. I just,
like, maybe she misunderstood.
This was like way too sexy and so poorly danced by Nick and just like so weird. I hated every single thing about this.
I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I'm probably somewhere in between. Like I didn't like it. I didn't hate it. I probably tuned out halfway through it, though. I wasn't enthralled by it. I will say that clearly PETA has checked out of trying to make this happen. So I think, and you know, Nick has checked out of trying to make this happen. So he's doing the best that he can. He's putting effort in, but, he doesn't think he's a good dancer. PETA's trying her hardest. It's all just terrible. So, and this was just like, kind of, I felt like embarrassing. It's like when you put a dunce cap on somebody and make them like run around the stage. So, yeah, I felt like this and the movie night week was almost like making them like dance monkey dance, you know. So
I do have thoughts on his movie night week.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
So
for sure,
for I thought both of these routines were fine. Like I thought he did a decent in both weeks. I think he did the best he could. He's obviously the worst dancer. But you know, and he should have gone home maybe a couple weeks ago, but he's just like, I thought they were fine. I didn't really care. But one, this week especially, I thought he was just kind of so sweet. He clearly is out of his depth and he's trying so hard and he doesn't understand why he can't break through. And I just found him kind of endearing and sweet and bumbling. He's clearly a very simple fellow and he's just trying hard. And I don't know. He's endearing. Yeah. My main issue
endearing, I will say
was that is not what Western means. That was a steampunk routine.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And like Western
is like Mad Max.
It's a really important, like fundamental film genre. And like the thing is, there aren't really that many film genres. Like, you can, you know, quibble, foreign film isn't really a genre either, because foreign countries make all kinds of different films.
Also, they explicitly assigned them French, even though they were calling it foreign. Like,
yeah. There were all sorts of problems anytime you're doing like movie genres, and you very quickly run out of movie genres because there aren't that many, and most good films aren't classifiable by genre. Anyway, one of the ones that is honest to God a real genre is Western, and then they just
picked the song Wild Wild West. Yeah. Like, they could not have picked a more straightforward Western movie theme song than Wild Wild West by Will Smith. Like, come on. Just put on a cowboy hat and do a Wild Wild West. Yeah,
it almost felt like he said no to the cowboy hat, and that was why. It was definitively not Western. Some of the moves were Western. I saw PETA trying, but like, just do.
I would love to hear
your assignment. I sound like Lita now.
I would love to hear who brought. Yeah, I would love to hear who brought this up first. Was it the costume department? Was it PETA? Like, who was like, hey, what do you think about a Mad Max Western?
Except, like, Mad Max, no, Mad Max like Mad isn't Max a either. Western. Which is post-apocalyptic, not Western, but also, like, it didn't even look like that. It looked
just because there was a vehicle on stage.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they had, like, the Thunderdome kind of sitting there. It was like... I don't know. It was very much so not quite with it theme wise for sure.
Maybe they don't have spaghetti westerns in Australia, guys.
Well,
no, I guess not.
Not even like regular westerns, like American western, like whatever.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm right there with you. That was definitely a very strange version of a Western. The dance was pretty bad, too. I think that...
Sorry, they definitely have Westerns in Australia, or at least PETA has, you know, they have televisions, because Sharna did Western with Bonner Bolton all the time.
Oh, right. Yes, I recall.
Right. Right. Oh. The cowboy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was the cowboy.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, right, I interrupted you. Continue.
No, you're fine. So, yeah, Nick clearly, you know, by the end of the movie night, we find out we have to say goodbye to Nick. You know, so we do, you know, so sad, so terrible. But he's been in the bottom for quite some time now, and he knew it was his time, and he was surprised he didn't go the previous week. So he knew it was coming. I think that it was his time to go. You know, I'm not necessarily sad to see him go. I'm happy that he will be around in the ballroom, though, because I will agree with you. He has been a very pleasant presence in the ballroom. He's very supportive. He's very... he's like a very beta personality, and that's not always the case with these celebrities. So I enjoyed him on the show. I don't know how you guys felt.
Yeah, he really surprised me.
Wasn't the best dancer, but
I was very surprised to find out that he was so like pleasant and beta and, you know, nice. Yeah. He's so sweet. Like he looks, and just being the only person in 98 Degrees who was a real celebrity, he was like so the front man, and there's something about that.
Yeah, he could have been a real douche.
Yeah, there's something about that shoulder tattoo that I just always assumed he was like an alpha bro, and he wasn't an alpha bro at all. And I like him so much more now than before, and that happens all the time with Dancing with the Stars. It's such a good image rehab, not that he had anything to rehab, but like I like him more now, and I like almost everybody more after they finish the show, but definitely him.
And I will say that at one point during the show, or right when they, you know, say goodbye to him, Tom says, you know, I want to point out that PETA tweeted, you know, this is why we do Dancing with the Stars, for people like Nick. You know, he's not a dancer. He's somebody who came on the show to learn something and get something out of this, you know. So and I'll agree with her. I think that's great. I think that's great that he got something out of this and he had a good time. So I'm happy that he was here, and, you know, I'm happy, you know, that he's also not staying, you know, too far past his welcome.
Yeah. Speaking of people who stayed too far past their welcome, though, who noticed David Ross
for
in the ballroom
sure.
this week? No one's
okay,
ever
so
looked.
I have a grind to pick. I have this really grinds my gears, because I am a true blue avid Muppet fan. This is something that I have been obsessed with since I was little. I have Kermit memorabilia everywhere. I have just Muppet stuff all over the place. My mom used to sing Rainbow Connection to me when I was little to put me to sleep. Like, I can sing it to you backwards and forwards. Like, I own all the Muppet movies. Like, I am a Muppet fan. So when Muppets come on my screen, like, I expect perfection. And Kermit, he delivered. He brought it to me. Drew did not deliver. Like, this, I just cannot handle him anymore. Like, everyone keeps saying on this show that he's getting better. Like, that's what Glenn keeps saying. And no, he's not getting better. Like, he just keeps getting longer and ganglier. Like, I just, like, I don't dislike him. I think he's funny. And I think he's, like, but he's worn his welcome out. Like, he needs to skedaddle. That's my take on Drew.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Yeah, between him,
Emma's dress was pretty.
Yes, between him and David Ross, there was certainly a lot of overstaying of welcomes.
Yeah,
no one's ever looked as bored as David Ross watching Hollywood Week of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. He hated
just
it.
Just sitting
he
there the whole
so
time.
Upset.
You're paying me to be here. But yeah, I think you're right about Drew. I don't have strong Muppet feelings. But
that's fine. It's not for everyone.
I do
strong Muppet feelings.
I thought, but I will say Kermit was a delight, and any Muppet related interstitials were great. Yeah, I don't know. I thought this was probably one of his better dances. Maybe he was so incredibly bad in Hollywood Week, though. So, like,
yeah,
whatever, Drew, go away.
I think maybe that's where my rage is coming from, because I'm remembering the most recent episode. When I do think back on this Viennese waltz, I love Rainbow Connection, and these costumes were beautiful. So I will say that Emma did a good job with the choreography and, you know, making them spin quite a bit to bring out the costumes. And he did an all right job with the Viennese waltz. It was very traditional. So sure, he did all right. But moving to movie night, this was
by this routine.
That's such a good way to put it. But how? Please tell me about your offense.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I feel like not everyone is going to be graceful. Not everyone is going to be able to pick up super complicated choreography. There are a lot of barriers to being a great dancer. Everyone can count. And if you cannot count the music that you are doing a routine to, then you need to have them change the choreography. But if you can get that far and get to the stage, I don't care if you're nervous. If you cannot count the part where like 10 people are in unison and you just cannot get on, and you are so much taller than everyone anyway.
I'm losing
like,
it right now.
It was so insulting to me. He should not be okay, here yeah. if he cannot count his music.
But he's a contender.
How predictable was it that he was like really into karate though?
Yes. He's the karate guy.
He seems
when he was
to
like
me,
kicking stuff.
Like so totally a guy who would be into karate. Like really
yeah,
into
no,
karate.
Yeah, no, he was not good.
You know, he said that and I realized who he reminds me of, and it's Ross Geller.
Oh
my God, yes. Ugani.
Karate.
Unagi.
Oh my God.
What is it? It's like Iyo sashimi, like
salmon skin roll.
Salmon skin roll. Yeah, I love that. Oh my God, that's actually so spot on, because like you can throw a Matrix jacket on somebody and thus a fighter, it does not make them, you know. So like
he's a 10-time world karate champion.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was in a new hire meeting with somebody recently where they wanted, you know, you have to go around the room and you say like one fact about yourself. This is like the pains of my life. Like this is like something I dread. But mine is usually so mundane and I just try to make it as like basic as possible so I don't have to like be that person. But somebody said like, oh, I am a Krav Maga champion, like I am currently like the top Krav Maga champion, and like they just like went on and on and on, and I was like, and I googled them and like I like no you're not. nope. Incorrect. So we need to find out if that's true about Drew or not.
I googled Drew Scott Karate to see if this was real. It says Drew and Jonathan both earned second degree black belts and won multiple Canadian national championships.
Oh,
which is not
see,
the same
now
as
I forget they're Canadian.
Yeah.
It is, here's a secret that it's really easy to win stuff in Canada because our population is so small that to be like the best in Canada.
And you're not fighters.
Well, that's a slightly different thing, but like, I don't like to disparage my country, but it is a different thing to be the best in Canada than the best in America, because the population difference is just gigantic.
It's bigger.
Our population is, I believe, comparable to the population of California alone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's so much blank space in Arctic up there.
Yeah, I mean, we're very concentrated. Like, Toronto is, I believe, the third biggest city in North America in terms of population. Like, it's the same as your biggest cities, but that's because we all live in Toronto, and then there's, like, nobody in most of the country. Goodness.
Also, in this article that I'm reading about things you didn't know about HGTV's Property Brothers, I feel like this explains Drew's whole existence. Their parents didn't know that they were having twins until the doctor saw Drew shortly after Jonathan was born.
That totally does explain everything. Jonathan is so much better and everyone likes him more, and you can tell Drew knows that.
Just only had one crib, like they just had no idea.
Oh my god, that is so funny. That's really, really sad. Oh my goodness. Oh, poor Drew. Poor Drew.
Drew's life is fine.
Drew is not a sympathetic figure. Like,
but his dancing is bad
for this guy.
I just feel bad for his wife on their wedding day when they have to dance together. Aww. That's about it.
You know what, though? He's
fine. No, he dances all right. Like, he'll be fine on his wedding day. Like, their video of their dancing on their wedding day will be good. Like, they can do more than sweat now.
Isn't Emma choreographing them like a Roomba or something truly ridiculous?
I hope so. Better be on YouTube. Anyway, sha-na-na-na-na-na, don't be tired, you know, I wanna kiss the girl.
I am sad.
Oh, I mean, too. I'm like devastated. It is a shame too bad. Her and Glub, 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 Glub.
Hey, that was appropriate. He was a merman.
That was him. He was under the water. Yeah, do you get it? Okay, so first of all, Sasha and Gleb dance a Roomba to Kiss the Girl from The Little Mermaid. I was so stoked to see Sasha as a Little Mermaid. She was gloriously beautiful. But what the F was Gleb doing portraying the merman from Zoolander? Let's break this down. Is Zoolander something that Gleb knows about?
No, absolutely not.
Was this... Right? He was given this script, right? And he was said, you need to say this. And then he was shown the video and he did it exactly shot for shot. But he has no idea what he just did. 100%.
He's a good sport.
So that was weird. He was a good sport for sure.
That
was very weird.
I am more in on Gleb because before this episode, Sasha did an Instagram live from their rehearsal and she was just like, you know, hanging out with Gleb in between rehearsing, and she's like explaining to him like why all the comments are like Emerson comments, like shipping her and Emily on Pretty Little Liars, and like she's trying to explain this portmanteau to him and like explain Pretty Little Liars, and he's just like listening and is like, oh, so that's your character's name, but then Shay is the actress's name, and he's like trying to follow it all, and I'm like, this is nice, he's taking an interest in her life and they're having a good time.
Yeah, he's not like, I forget sometimes that he doesn't have any, like, he's been here for so long but he still doesn't follow much
well,
when it comes to like American,
I mean,
like
Pretty Little Liars
stuff,
is for like little girls though, so like, why would he watch?
Yeah, but even so, like, he should understand like who, like he knew who she was as his partner. Maybe he googled her, you know, like maybe he understand like what her character, you know, maybe he googled Pretty Little Liars because that was gonna be his partner. But
I just
maybe
seemed
Whitney
like,
did
yeah,
bother
friends. Oh yeah, Whitney did not
bother. Right.
But
no, they did. Yeah, I will say that I agree. He does seem a little more endearing after being partners with Sasha, mm-hmm. which is nice.
Yeah. Sure.
But what was this? Like, this is weird. This was a fine dance though, what do you think? Was this good?
Yeah, I think that Gleb's choreography is just not stellar. I just don't think he does very much that's very interesting, and it doesn't do Sasha any favors.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she, exactly, like, she's making all the right shapes, she's doing all the right steps, but it's not showing her off. You know, so she's not getting scores that are good because it's not putting her in the right movement. So it's not showing them as having a good chemistry and, you know, all the things that you need to, you know, have an outstanding dance. So I would agree with that for sure.
Yeah, I don't think Gleb is a special enough partner. I think we should dispense with him for next season. He's just not,
agreed,
you know,
but
he's not interesting.
Will he be gone?
I will say, I really do think you had to watch Pretty Little Liars to get the Sasha appeal. I didn't really get much from her at all.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think that we talked about this last week, yeah. But connecting with somebody is important on the show. And I mean, yeah, you just didn't watch her show. So you like don't really necessarily have like a super high investment in her.
Whereas I didn't watch Frankie Muniz's show either, and I find him easy to connect with. I just think she's a little guarded.
Well,
and
he's
you have to know
exactly.
Her to love her.
He's like, yeah, and he's also, and I'll say that he's more open and like has more of like a welcoming persona.
But even without how much I love plus, like, Sasha, like it's objectively like she's should not have gone home based on dancing before like Nick or Terrell. Or a couple other
for
people.
Sure. Agreed. The only reason she didn't beat Nick is because everyone voted for Nick after Most Memorable Year because it was so heart-wrenching.
Right.
That's all. That's the only reason.
That's true.
But you're right. She should have made it two more weeks. She should have beaten both of those guys. But
she should have beaten Drew too, but I guess people have
right.
a thing with Drew that I will never understand.
Drew's got Emma, and I think people like him. He's got a huge, I think there's a lot of demographic crossover. I feel like a Property Brothers fan and a Dancing with the Stars fan are likely the same person. No, I see Drew going
they're
much
like
further
my,
than either of you can handle.
Yeah, they're like my grandma.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was sad to see her go, but I think that she got a lot out of this, which is great. Mm-hmm. I think that she... had some good dances, and I am sad that she didn't have a better partner. And I think that about sums it up.
Yeah.
So back to Disney Night. We are on to, we're into the, I guess, the golden age of Disney, and we are moving right along to Terrell, Owens, and Cheryl, who are doing a quick step to I Just Can't Wait to Be King from The Lion King.
Loved it. Yay, amazing song. And I love that Keo was the king.
Keo is the king.
This was actually made me laugh out loud at some point. So this was a really good dance. I had to watch it twice though, because the first time I watched it, I could not stop laughing when Sasha popped out from behind the tree.
I didn't even
like
see that.
I could not keep my shit. I couldn't keep it together because he just like popped out from behind a tree as like a gazelle or something. He was like clawing at him. And from then on, all I could do was watch him from behind the tree. So I had to watch it again. And then the second time I was like, this is really good. But yeah, this was a good dance. But you need to go back and watch it and watch for when he pops out from behind the tree.
A good comical deployment of Sasha is well appreciated. I think.
Yeah.
That's what he's best for.
Yeah.
That's his best role.
For sure.
Popping out of places.
Yeah. He just has such a
face
for popping out from behind a tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He had like the weirdest face on too.
Speaking of faces, how great was Terrell's makeup in this routine? I loved it.
It was weird. It was good though. I felt like he had a very happy face on during the Disney night as well as the movie night. Like maybe he's like feeling more into Dancing with the Stars.
Sure. And also, I mean, how can you not be a happy spy when you're driving?
Yes. How could you not?
How can you not? Tell us how you feel.
This is my favorite. The Lion King is my favorite Disney movie. And so there was a part of me that's like, oh, it takes place in Africa, so we're going to have the two black guys be in it. But
then you took one look at Keo on that throne and you were in. You didn't care.
Oh, yeah. I'm not mad at this. But it was fun. Like, I think when I talk about like there were a lot of turnarounds, like I think this was when I was like, OK, Terrell can be. I don't think that he's like good at dancing or should go very far. But I like understand if people are voting for him. Like, I understand why.
Yeah. I mean, you can give even the least likable person if you give them one of the Disney Renaissance numbers, they just, and as long as they don't completely screw it up, you will just like them more because it's a song from your childhood and they're all amazing songs because Alan Menken's a genius, although this was an Elton John, and like just anything from the Renaissance period.
That's not, yeah, just, that's not untrue. That's good. Yeah.
I had to learn.
I see, because I didn't like him before this week. Yeah. And then afterwards I was like, oh, he's all right.
Because he was dancing to like a Jonathan Taylor Thomas song.
I had to
learn. I don't know that he did the singing voice, but he definitely did the voice of Young Simba.
Oh, he, what, no, Matthew Broderick did the voice of Young Simba. Oh, he did the singing.
Matthew Broderick did the voice of adult Simba.
What? Oh, man, I've got everything.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas was like baby Simba.
Yeah.
Like, oh, gosh.
Toddler Simba.
Yeah, I had to learn this song in sign language with my third grade class and perform it. So
stop it. Put it on YouTube immediately.
Amazing. I definitely did this in my, like,
my brain.
My 4-year-old dance class or something.
Oh, amazing.
That's no amazing. Sign language though, because we weren't that cool.
I think you don't really need it if you're dancing. We were singing it and then also did the sign language. I think I was the Zazu part, and also, so I only know the sign language to the Zazu because I was an alto.
Oh my God, can you please do this and put it on YouTube for me?
The funniest.
That's the altos really were Zazu.
That's
and
really,
the,
really good
the
stuff.
Sopranos were Simba, which makes no sense. It was just like, this is how we're going to divide people. Anyway, it's a deep dive into my.
That's good, good stuff.
Choir class.
I would love to go more into that world, but I feel like we should continue on to his just really, really strange performance during movie night, which was, as Kelly mentioned, a jive. To the movie genre of spy.
Not a genre,
movies.
But sure.
Not a genre. No, you are correct. So I guess this was something that was later pointed out. But yes, he's a very tall person and the jive is very difficult for tall people to do. But they thought he pulled it off. And this is where I think that I felt the most that he was having fun and he was being very kitschy and very campy. And this was really, really well choreographed. Sure, Cheryl did a really good job, you know, so I think that this was fun. This was good. Really brought him out of his comfort zone of, you know, being, it wasn't a serious spy movie situation, which I think is good because oftentimes with this, they've done this genre, quote unquote, before. And I always, it's always like very serious, like,
well, because they're spies.
Mission Impossible or yeah. But I liked this. This was like very like campy. It's fun. It's like Austin Powers spy sort of thing.
I mean, sure. But if you're skipping, like you're going to make noise and get caught. That's like on a very basic level. You can't jive when you're spy.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, the people that were in the scene with them clearly are blind. Like they must be
on a basic level. You can't jive.
You can't
fundamentally
jive.
At your core.
Yeah,
so harsh.
Do we love the portraits of Len?
Was it Len's house that they were stealing the ten from? Oh, yeah. That's what. Yeah, the portraits of Len.
But there was like so many of them. They were really
and there
funny.
Was a portrait of the queen, which I thought was pretty funny.
Oh, that's a real thing that a lot of British people have in their house.
Yeah, which is very strange.
Yeah, it was. My friend's mom is British. One time we went to her Christmas party. One of the kids saw a picture of the Queen and was like, "Is that your mom?"
I mean, some of you, not you particular people,
you people.
But some of the Americans have like pictures of the presidents in their houses and stuff. I don't know. We only have pictures of the Prime Minister if he's like hanging up on a poster in our bedroom because he's a hottie.
Because he's cute. Yeah.
If it's his playgirl spread.
Well, there's this photo of him when he did a charity boxing match like 6 years ago or something that is very popular.
I want it. He's great. What
this
are we talking about?
This is how much I have to say about Terrell Owens' dance. I just don't care. Yeah. Whatever.
I was like, where are we? Where am I? I'm so confused.
I'm
maybe
Justin
they got
Trudeau.
Me in their spy movie.
Yeah.
Maybe I got captured.
This was not terrible.
Anyway.
It was not great. It was a passable
just
dance.
Okay.
I'm ready to say goodbye to these
was
people.
It a 10?
Yeah.
No.
I'm ready to say goodbye to them as well.
I agree. And I do feel like I just have been very down on Cheryl this season. I just have not felt her energy or her usual spunk. She's been very, just kind of a bummer. So I'm ready for her to go.
Yeah. Well, I don't think her and Cheryl
she's been
go
just
along,
like,
so.
Yeah, I love.
Yeah, exactly.
How much Erin Andrews just like, she doesn't know about dance, so she loves being in her comfort zone. So when she can talk to Tara,
loves
it.
Like,
Bill Belichick, right? We can make football references. Let's talk about coaches.
And every time she's like, I've known you for years. Like, yeah, we know.
So funny. Yeah, I think that she just like is, Erin is just like, she always latches onto that sports person, and now it's him.
Or
so
she's like, us tall people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tall people.
Us tall people. Yeah. Or us ladies. Yeah. If it's a girl, she, like, if that's all she has, yeah, she'll go with the ladies.
Or like
thing.
Just, I've done this show before. I know.
Yeah.
Max, remember how you used to tease me, Max? Max, remember?
So funny. Yeah, so we are holding on to them for another week, but I mean, I'm crossing my fingers that they won't be here for much longer. We do hope, however, move on back to Disney Week to somebody who does end up being in jeopardy on Disney Week, which was very scary and quite a surprise. Our lovable, lovey-dovey Frankie Muniz.
And everyone found out he doesn't remember Malcolm in the Middle and they got mad.
Yeah. He has a brain problem, though. It's so sad. But so he is tasked with the Argentine tango to Pirates of the Caribbean, which was actually just a really funny assignment for him. I was just very, very excited to see this pan out. And Whitney was like, you're an actor, right? You can do this. And just their banter in the rehearsal space was so funny to me. I just like could not get enough of it.
Yeah.
And I love that she said that right before they go on stage, he like pulls it together. Like he's never able to do it. Like, and then he just like gets it together somehow, which is just great.
Yeah.
But I loved this. This is great. I love watching him dance.
I'd be really fascinated to read an interview with like the person who does the pairings. Because this felt like a real long shot. Like there was, other than maybe a height reason, this seems like a very odd pair. And this was 100% exactly the right person to give Frankie Muniz to. And it's worked out really, really well. And their chemistry is awesome. And she pushes him exactly as far as he wants to be pushed. And like, they're great together. It's so delightful. And I just love Whitney.
Totally.
She's just so truly, uncompromisingly Whitney all the time. And it's just so winning.
Yeah, and I just find her so endearing, and I just like want to be her friend so badly. Ugh. Yeah, so I don't know about you guys, but I was sold on this dance 100%.
Yeah,
I thought
great.
This was great. I felt like it should have been all 10.
And also her
sure,
costume was just like everybody's dream Halloween costume for the rest of time. She looked
so
amazing.
Good. And he looked good too.
Did,
I was
yeah.
very impressed.
I mean, Jack Sparrow is like a great go-to sexy costume.
Yeah, exactly. It puts you very much in character. You don't have to try as hard.
Yeah, it's that eyeliner. That eyeliner just brings it out in you.
I will say, though, that movie night just was an unfortunate choice for them.
Yeah, this is bad.
I'm a huge fan of the Trolls movies. I don't know if you guys have seen them, but they are so funny.
Like, are there like old Troll movies, or you mean like the one from last year with the Justin Timberlake song?
No, the one from last year. It's like they have the Troll movie, and then there's like little like funny like 1 hour, like half hour things that they have on Netflix. But
I've never seen those.
Watch Trolls.
I loved the one last year. I thought it was so much fun.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, it's very funny. And so I was excited to see that they were doing Trolls, but it was too much. It was this song was just too much. Like,
do you think they couldn't get the
exactly.
rights to the Justin Timberlake song?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, but it would have been easier for him to dance
too.
He
didn't even look
and
like
it would
a
have
troll.
Been.
He didn't have the iconic troll hair.
I wonder if that
was
a copyright
like hanging
issue.
Down. Yeah, I think it might have been because they didn't ever say they were trolls. Like he said it maybe once, but it wasn't as like they said you're doing animation, and it was like they were sort of dressed like the trolls. But it wasn't.
Yeah,
because
like,
that's a
DreamWorks
movie. They were not
movie,
promoting Trolls.
Yeah, but
and
they looked
their
more like
it was DreamWorks.
They looked more like
Disney.
Anime or something with like the blue.
Yeah,
hair.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Like they weren't trolls, but they were trolls.
Right.
Like so, I think that's the problem is that they were trying to do something that they were given all the pieces, but not like the last puzzle piece to do. So he was having fun doing it because it was like 70s dance moves, but he looked like a weird monkey, like like from the Monkees, and like he had to do the worm, and it was just out of pace.
Yeah.
And
I also didn't love the choreo. It was just,
yeah, it was like too much content, like weird 70s jazz content.
Well, and was this
very strange?
This was another one of those vague jazz routines, right? Where like
so big.
No one really knows what jazz is, and so they're like, let's just put some moves together.
And the theme is 70s dance. Like, like I think I'm in the Brady Bunch, you know? So I agree with the judges on this. I think that it was very fun, but it was not very good, which is a shame because he had did so good the week before. It was just a little creepy.
Everyone should still vote for Frankie forever, though.
Yes,
for sure.
Yeah, this was not emblematic of his actual, you know,
no
abilities.
He did it like he did it well. Like if he like what he was given, he did well. It just wasn't very
except
good
for his crab walk at the end that was supposed to be a knee spin.
Oh yeah, his knee spins, they were so bad. He at the end he was just like, I've never done it that bad.
He's
before
just, like,
and I was like, that sucks
around himself.
And he just like kneed over to her. But Frankie, we love you, Frankie.
Yes.
If you're listening, I know you're not, but
he might be.
He loves this show.
He's having such a great time on Dancing with the Stars. Maybe he's absorbing all of the content about it.
I love that. I find that so endearing.
You.
I just love how much fun he's having. It's so infectious.
Yeah, he's great. Moving right along, speed things up. Just make sure we're covering everybody. We are on to the winner of Dancing with the Stars, Jordan Fisher. Sorry. We're so sorry. Well, like, we love all of you.
What has to happen in order for him to lose, though? To be like, come on.
His injury
I don't know.
To stop him, I think.
No, that was like a red herring. That was like, that's what they're going to do when he gets to the finals.
Yeah.
And they're like, will he win? Won't he win? You know,
yeah.
That's that
yeah.
They were planting that seed.
Like, Frankie has like a broken back.
Yeah.
This was a crazy dance for Moana. I was kind of bummed, though, that they brought back Moana so early.
It's because
why
he's
are they doing
literally
this again?
On the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Like, when he says it's my version, it's literally his version. And so it was just like an obvious
pick.
Yes,
that's right. Yeah,
right. Dwayne Johnson is not a very good singer. So for the soundtrack, they were like, we're just going to have someone else also sing it.
Oh,
so
right.
Yeah, well, and it's
that
because
makes
it's
more
like the Lin-Manuel Miranda connection because he's like a Hamilton guy.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. I get that. I will say I was not a fan of the whitewashed Moana.
yeah.
That wasn't great.
What did I say about
I feel
no
like,
spending? We wanted
yeah, but
Hercules.
You also said that it wasn't as important as you wanted a Hercules song. So yeah,
they
just stand your
two
ground.
Most important things that I wanted, and neither of them happened.
And they did this last year where they went so far in one direction with making Simone look exactly like her, and then they went so far in the other direction with like making Moana look like. Like she was going to the mall,
yeah,
you know.
Okay.
So it was like,
you know what?
Simone,
I don't think
like she's not. She's black. Moana is not black, like,
right?
Right?
Yeah, exactly. So
I do think
just needed them
her,
to not be dressed as the characters.
I don't. Yeah, I don't think Lindsay was trying to be Moana. I think that she was just trying to like fit into the theme, but not trying to pretend to be anyone. Because she like there was no winning. She was assigned this routine. The entire
I would like
movie.
To think
there's
that.
No character. There's no like white character that she could have played. So I just think that she did her best in by making it purposely really vague and not trying to pretend to be Moana. I think was the only answer, and she did the best she could. And also, it's not even Moana's. Like Moana doesn't sing the song.
No, I know.
So.
I just think they put the hair in her. They put the flower in her hair right where she had. You know, so it was just a little too on the nose, but. Yeah, I would like to think that that's what you're saying is right. So I hope that that's what happened. I just think that it was like a little bit. I don't know. I'm reading a lot of articles right now about like, don't let your children dress up as Moana for Halloween.
Yes.
So I'm a little bit sensitive to it. So,
although,
but I liked the dance. The dance was really, really good.
Yeah. I feel like put Lindsay in anything and she looks like she's going to the mall. Like,
that's true.
She looks
just
gorgeous,
has that
though,
face.
I will say. But did we love when Len said, what was this mucking about with his hand?
Oh, my God. In
and
the second one in Hollywood
it
Week, it was what did he call it? He called it like no more tiddly whittling or something.
Yes,
when he meant to break down. It's like you.
Yeah. So, I mean, he even mentions it during the so he mentions it during the Disney week as well. So he says that he calls it mucking about in Disney week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know. What you're talking about.
Yeah. So he mentions that, too. So and then it sort of escalates. So now we move on to movie night where I see the most amazing dance I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. This was really, really good. It is so hard for them to do rumbas on this show. Yeah. And I felt like he was pure like movement.
Yeah.
Like the kid was like water. Like I felt like he was just so fluid. But yeah, when they pointed it out, I was like, oh, yeah, what is that?
Well, it was great. That was interesting. I mean, we can go back to the mucking about in a little bit, which I think was just a pretty basic breakdown. And the only thing you can really do when there's a rap section in the middle of your song. But the the hand thing was interesting.
He's nitpicking.
Yeah, Jordan, the hand thing was weird, but it was strange because it almost felt a little bit like a Nigel style criticism of being effeminate. And I kind of paused at that a little bit.
Can you just explain this Len critique, the hand thing to people who maybe know like what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's good point. Yeah. So Len, at one point during the critiquing, you know, everyone's giving Jordan just like the most amazing criticism. They're like, this was amazing. You're amazing. And then for some reason, Len is like, he goes a little bit hard on Jordan and he's less than thrilled at some of his hand flourishes. So when he spins Lindsay out, he brings his hand up and sort of fluidly twirls it about down his face. It's a very I guess since it's a rumba, it's a little bit more of a romantic gesture, a little bit of like a Spanish flair. I took it as to be a very performative aspect. He's a theater kid. I know 1,000 kids that would do this, like if they're trying to be a little bit extra, you know. So I think that was where he was going with it. He was just in it to win it. But yeah, that's an interesting point, Kelly. I would love to hear a little bit more about what you thought Len was going for with him pointing out that it was like more of a feminine.
Yeah,
thing,
I just kind of bumped on it a little bit. And it could be just because I'm coming off a season of Nigel, and Nigel does this kind of thing all the time where he's like, you look like a girl and thus you suck. But it had a bit of a flamboyancy to it. And I almost felt like that was what the criticism was. That said, it did look a little bit strange in the routine. I didn't notice it
once they pointed it out.
Yeah, I didn't notice it until he pointed it out.
Me neither.
But I think you're right about it just being like really dramatic. And I think that Jordan was, I'm not sure how like sincere he felt the routine should be, because it was clearly like an over dramatic routine. They had that silly poster that looked like a Nicholas Sparks poster. And it was like their assignment was drama. Everybody else got these very specific genres and he got the vaguest like drama. And then they gave him, I thought Lindsay did a spectacular job with the choreo. She gave it a So You Think You Can Dance style story that they could really lean into. But I think there was a part of Jordan that was like, okay, I'm going to play it serious, but it's a little overdramatic and let's acknowledge that it's overdramatic. And so I'm going to do silly overdramatic things. And it came out in this drama kid kind of way. And I think that there are certain associations with like a high school drama boy that I don't know. I could have been bumping on it for the wrong reason, but it felt a little bit like an accusation of it just being like an effeminate movement, and he didn't want to say that. But anyway, Lita, what did you think?
Well, I thought that these two were definitely helped by their assignment, because not only is drama something that has a lot more freedom to just do something, whatever Lindsay wants to do, but also the rumba makes a lot of sense with drama. Whereas if you're doing
spy jive.
Right, spy jive. Like, that's just not really spy fair jive. When you get to do a drama rumba compared to a spy jive. Like, the assignments are just totally disproportionately hard. Yeah. So, that's what I thought.
And I will say that Shania actually had a really interesting comment where she said that this flourish of his hand was sort of, I mean, I think she's giving him too much credit. I don't think that he thought about it. I think he was just doing it naturally, but he sort of is mirroring her movements when she's away from him, which I think he is a very intuitive dancer. So it's quite possible that, yes, he's sort of mimicking her. And that's what he sees. And so he's doing it with his hands and he's doing it with his body and his shoulders and his head and his, you know, so, I mean, that was a good sort of call on Shania's part, you know, not being a dancer, that she can see that, you know, he's an excellent learner, a quick study. He sees her doing that. And he's like, okay, well, that's, how do I make that into something on my side? And he may not be thinking about it, but he's just sort of like intuitively doing it, you know? So, I mean, yeah, but I can see where you're coming from, Kelly, and I think that you're not wrong to assume that Len might say that. I hope that you are, but I mean, you could be very well right. So, I mean, fingers crossed that we don't get more of that criticism from him. Yeah, but this was an amazing dance. I felt really, 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 really happy after watching this one.
Jordan's just really a magical creature. Like, I just
do no wrong. Nothing. Like, he's just like a unicorn.
He's perfect. Like, literally, he had one. He was 1 point away from perfection in these 2 weeks. And that 1 point was Len being like, you moved your arm weirdly. He's a magic creature, and Lindsay is perfect for him. Like, she's such an ambitious choreographer. I think she's a really underrated choreographer. She's really special and interesting and ambitious, and I think when you give her someone who can really dance, she's just gonna go for it, and we saw that in this episode especially.
And he's also very committed too. I mean, in their rehearsals you see it, like, she, I don't think that they would be as successful or as you know, connected if he wasn't as in it to win it, you know. I think that, yes, he's a very good dancer and he's a great performer, but he's also very a hard worker, and he's a perfectionist, and he's, you know, he wants
and
to
he
be
knows
the best he can
it's
be,
his
so.
To lose. Like, if he doesn't win, totally it'll look bad on him, because he has every 100%. He's everything going for him here.
100%. Anyway, we move on to our last couple of the evening. We are talking about Nikki and Artem. Hot breaking news. Artem changed his hair.
He did.
What was he thinking?
I'm like weirdly
what
sad.
What was he thinking?
It was getting too
I'm
popular.
Devastated.
Now he wants to be against the culture again. He was like, oh,
devastated.
You like it? I did it so you wouldn't like it. Now I have to startle you.
He hates
edgy
us.
Artem. I
How rude.
Am generally not a fan of blondes, so this was me stunning neither. To me how much I enjoyed this. I just like...
It worked on him.
Yeah, it did. I like him doing something that makes him seem a little less serious.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't change it drastically. It's still fairly light, but yeah, maybe he needed to like do an audition or something. It couldn't be bleach blonde. But yeah, so they were the hit up-and-coming... hasn't been released yet movie. So they were dancing to a song called Remember Me from the new movie Coco, which I'm actually really, really excited to see. So I, you know, was sort of excited to see that they were doing a dance from this. I wasn't super blown away by the song. Like, it wasn't like a catchy tune. The dance style was jazz. So they got to do whatever they wanted with it. And it was like traditional Mexican folk dance, which was really, really fun, because we don't always get to see some of these more traditional dance styles. And Nikki did a great job, I thought. I thought that, you know, they brought in the outside talent that they needed to choreograph this the way they needed to, and she did it well.
Yeah, I enjoyed
what
how
did
much,
you guys think?
I enjoyed how much Artem placed a value on cultural sensitivity for this, because I feel like this is something that it was
could have gone off the rails.
Yeah, and I think it was somewhat big of him to just be like, I don't know how to accurately choreograph this, so I'm gonna bring in someone who does. So
and she's Mexican.
Right. Exactly. So I feel like he was being very respectful of her and of her culture. So, yeah, that was nice. His sombrero was very extravagant and is something that I will.
It's like hand beaded. It was beautiful.
Yes, it was.
And
very
he wore
memorable.
It
like for one dance.
He wore it all episode. I was very shocked. Every time I saw him, I was like, aren't you ever going to take it off?
No, he
no.
Loves
if I had that sombrero, I would keep it forever.
Yes. But I still, you know, am not really connecting with Nikki on a dancer personality level very much. But she's improving, and I really, really love Artem. So I'm fine for them to stay around.
Yeah, whenever she dances, I feel more positive about her. And then she opens her mouth during the like the rehearsals and whenever they're like talking on camera. And I
Russian
don't like
therapist.
Her as much.
You can just say therapist.
Yeah, like I don't like her.
It's not like him being Russian dramatically alters yeah. his ability to listen to you.
Like their chemistry as a couple dancing is good to me, but I don't like her as a person on this like on the show, you know, if that makes sense. I'm not saying I don't like her as a person. Like, I'm sure she's a fine person, but I'm not a fan of hers. So
see, it's like Lindsay. Yeah, you just like don't connect with her.
Yeah, no, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong. I've never said you're wrong.
No, I'm like saying, yeah, no, I get it.
Okay. Yeah. So they had another controversial movie genre, which we've already gone a little bit into, which was foreign films for movie night. So they danced an Argentine tango to a French song, right?
Yes. A song that was done for an amazing So You Think You Can Dance group routine. It's like, is this the only French song
I've seen this, so
available
good.
to these choreographers?
I mean, it's just such a great song, too. Maybe they were just like, let's do it again. But this was, I thought, good. I wasn't blown away.
No, me neither. And just the
and
fact that it was
Shania
like,
was annoying.
It was foreign films, but specifically, like, you have to do French. Like, just say French film. Why can't you just do that?
Yeah.
Sorry, what did you say
if we're
about
doing
Shania?
An Argentine tango?
Yeah. What did you say about Shania here?
I felt like she was particularly annoying during this because she was commenting quite a bit on her dance technique. She kept saying things like she felt like their ankles flick, like the flick of the feet in unison was really, really really great because it showed how like sexy everything was. And I felt like that was number one, not her place to say, not that she wasn't wrong. Like, yeah, that is what like the art tango is about, like being in unison and all of that. But I just felt like she was being really annoying. Like,
yeah.
Case in point, like Shania, shut up.
I wonder if there was a director or even just Bruno leaning over. I think that she got coached throughout the episode because they went first in the
probably.
Second episode and she was
just
so much more tolerable by the end. Her scoring evened out. She started, you know, making comments that were both more vague and less just useless.
So vague.
Like,
what does that mean?
Yeah, she was very annoying at first, which made me sad. And this was probably her worst, other than the one where she dramatically underscored as a response to the previous one, because that's just unfair. This was probably her most annoying performance, and it was telling that it was the first of the night. Shania, not Nikki. Nikki was fine. You're exactly right when you say this was just, yeah, good, whatever.
It was just good, yeah. And I'll say I like them as a couple. I don't dislike their dancing. I just am not blown away by, I just think it's hard to be blown away when you have people like Jordan and, you know, and Whitney creating such beautiful dances where you're feeling that you should only feel during like freestyle week, you know? But it is what it is. They did all right. So we get to the bottom of the hour. Of the second night, and we say goodbye to Nick and Peeta, which we already talked about. But hey, that's the movie business for ya.
That's Hollywood.
Yeah, that's the biz.
Yeah, this
sorry,
was the,
we're in the theme.
This was the exact correct person to go home. Like I could not
it was
do
fine.
Another
it
week
was
of Nick Lachey.
Yeah, so, I mean, overall, I felt that these 2 weeks together, I was fairly entertained by, actually. I think that, like I said in the beginning, these are some of the more fun episodes of the season. So, I guess, what is coming up next week? Do we know?
Halloween.
Do we know? That is a great question. Halloween! How could I forget? How could I forget? And then I think the following week is actually, you know what? I don't know. I'll have to look it up really
quickly.
I think
are we getting into like the finals and stuff then where they're like, it's the quarterfinals. It's the semifinals.
We are. But yeah, so we're really excited. We're going to be here through it all with you guys. I would love to get you guys just a little bit of a hot take on where you guys think this is going really quickly. You know, what you guys think will happen in the next couple weeks. You know, and then, you know, I'll give you mine.
Well, I got to think Terrell and Cheryl are not too long for this world. I know that Terrell is very famous, but I feel like at this point, the people who are getting votes based on just like their following rather than their dancing are going to be more Nikki Bella. I think she has like a huge following that's going to get her through, and eventually Terrell is going to run out. So hopefully, you know, I like him well enough, but I'm team good dancing first and foremost. So I feel like I need Drew to go home, but it's just not going to happen soon enough for me. But yeah, I think Terrell is probably so the one who's the most in danger. I really hope that Frankie is never in the bottom again. I hope that really rallied his fans, him being in the bottom that time.
Rallied me.
Yeah. Yes, it rallied me as well. So hopefully they will go far. I'm rooting for Frankie and Whitney to be that third person in the final. Yeah. So that's where I'm at. What do you think, Kelly?
I don't know. I really like this cast. I've liked this cast from the beginning. I'd like to see Terrell go home next, I guess, but I'm not really that fussy other than Jordan really needing to win. Certainly I'd like to see Frankie go far. I'd like to see Victoria make it relatively far, but I'm not that fussy about who goes home from here on out. I think we got rid of a lot of the riffraff early. And Jordan, if he doesn't win, I'll be very upset. But other than that, I like everybody. I'm happy to watch everybody. Even Drew. Drew's annoying, but I love Emma. You know, like there's an upside to basically everybody who's left. I really enjoyed both these weeks. Disney Week always makes me very happy. I love movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a fun couple weeks, and I am enjoying the cast enough that it doesn't really matter to me other than who wins.
Yeah, and I'm so excited to talk about Halloween. It's Halloween week. It's one of my favorite holidays. So I'm very excited to come back. Same. And then we'll have 2 weeks where it's like, even though Halloween is over, I can have some comfort knowing that I'll still get to talk about spooky things in a couple weeks. That Halloween won't truly end until we record that podcast about Halloween week. So that's a comfort to me.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I don't think it's been released yet unless they mentioned it on the show and we missed it, but I don't think it's been released yet what they'll be doing the week following Halloween week. So we'll keep you posted. But I'm definitely excited. I'm super stoked to be chatting about it again, of course, in a few weeks with you guys. So until then, where can people find you on the internet? I don't know why I said that in a spooky voice, but Lita, you first.
You can find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted and on Instagram at Lita Grammed. You can also find my weekly Survivor recaps on Kelly's blog, myentertainmentworld.ca.
Not a blog. I hate the word blog.
On Kelly's website. Kelly's website. Terrible word. I'm sorry. I'm used to writing for the Rob Has a Website blog, which is actually a blog. So I'm used to saying that. Anyway,
you are forgiven, but only because you're so sassy.
Content.
Thank you, Kelly. follow me on those places.
Amazing.
Yeah. As Lita said, my website is myentertainmentworld.ca, not .com. .com is different. You can find some of my writing there, writing from my entire staff, including one Lita Brillman. I don't know. Our social media is at my Ent World, my ENT World, both Twitter and Instagram. I run that, so you can get my weekly Survivor rankings and whatever musings I have going on there. And also download our podcast, My Entertainment World, in your podcast search, however you find your podcasts. We just started a new series. I recorded 3 episodes this week. That's a Shakespeare series because I'm a nerd. So having so much fun doing
that.
And that's about it for me.
That's amazing. You can find me at Ange Pelagi, which is Angie Pelaggi on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow my dog at Lily Bloom Puppy Dog, because, you know, why not?
And I just recently was on the main feed with Rob talking about Star Trek Discovery. So listen to that. We nerded out pretty hardcore, so it was a hoot. But yeah, so we will be back here, not next week, but the following week to chat about Halloween and also something else. But until then, enjoy your dancing, and we'll see you on the dance floor. Bye.